Did you know that prophetic words have played a really important role in the Emmanuel story? At our Explore membership class, we tell a bunch of these stories, like the story of how a word from the Lord came to a woman in Arizona, and God used that word to confirm that God was opening up the Shoreview Community Center for us. Or the story of how God prepared us in advance for a phone call that we got from our friends in Juarez that ended up changing us forever. All right, here's another story, though, that came to mind as I was preparing for this. I haven't told this story for a long time because I haven't even thought about it. There was a season before we planted Emmanuel where every Tuesday I used to pray the same prayer. Every Tuesday I used to pray a prayer out of 1 Chronicles 4:10. We used to call it this prayer of Jabez. Have you guys ever heard of that? All right, so every Tuesday I would pray the prayer of Jabez. It goes, "O Lord, that you would bless me indeed, that you would enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil that I might not cause pain." So every Tuesday I'd pray that prayer. Well, there was a time then where I just drifted away from that for all kinds of reasons. And then I remember a very distinct moment when one Tuesday, this was before we planted Emmanuel, one Tuesday I was still at my last church, and that Tuesday I felt prompted to pray that prayer. So I prayed, "O Lord, that you bless me indeed, enlarge my territory, hand be with me, keep me from evil that it might cause pain." Well, I prayed that, and some of you maybe know what's going to happen next. I open up my computer, and I open up my email, and I have an email from someone who never emailed me. And guess what she said? She said, "Chris, I feel like I was supposed to reach out from you." And this was on a Tuesday, by the way, the same Tuesday I prayed these prayers. She reached out and she said, "I was praying for you today, and I believe this verse is a word from the Lord for you." Now, quick pause. One of the reasons this was so meaningful is that at that time, when we were getting ready to launch this church, it didn't just feel like we were stepping out in faith. It felt like we were jumping off a cliff. And so all that second guessing comes in your head and all this kind of stuff. So she says, "I feel like I have this word for you from this verse," she says, 1 Chronicles 4:10. And she says, "O Lord, this is my prayer. I believe it's for you that you would bless Emmanuel indeed, that you would enlarge your territory and your hand would be with them." That was so encouraging. So encouraging. A prophetic word. Well, if you're just joining us, we are in week 6 of a 16-week series where we're looking into the prophets, a section of scripture called the prophets. And if you're taking notes, I want to invite you to write this down. Authentic prophecy. Authentic prophecy is a desirable gift. Why do I say that authentic prophecy is a desirable gift? Because the Bible says that. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, we read the story of how there was this ancient prophecy that came to pass, where the Holy Spirit was going to be poured out upon God's people. And when that happened, one of the things that prophecy said would happen is that your sons and daughters will prophesy, it said. And the New Testament provides extremely helpful teaching and guidance for this age that we're in right now, where the Holy Spirit's been poured out and these gifts are active. This is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 7. "Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but it is the same God who empowers them all for" what? Remember that. For the common good. Prophecy is one of those spiritual gifts that's given for us for our what? Our common good. 1 Corinthians 14, 1-4 builds on this. It says, "Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially," the Bible says, "that you may" what? "Especially that you may prophesy. The one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. The one who prophesies builds the church." All right. For the record, do prophets ever bring hard words? Yes, they do. And even the hardest words to receive have the ultimate goal of strengthening the family of God. That's the ultimate aim. And I'm seeing a lot of nods. I'm glad you guys get that. All right. In Emmanuel, we come from a wide range of backgrounds. Oh, especially when it comes to anything prophetic. There are some that have grown up like me. I grew up not hearing any teaching about prophecy at all. I just remember Sunday school class, the prophets always had their hands like this. You know, I was like, angry people shaking their fists. Others grew up hearing prophecy was only something that happened in the past. Others eagerly desire, like the scripture says, these gifts because you had positive experiences with them. You saw positive fruit. And we're going to end up focusing on a lot today. There is a growing number of people whose guard goes up for good reasons. Their guard goes up because when we start talking about modern day prophets, here's what your experience has been. And if you're taking notes, I invite you to write this down. False prophets can do a lot of harm. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. There's a documentary that just came out on Netflix. We can put the screenshot up here. It's called Trust Me, the False Prophet. Haven't watched it yet. Not recommending or not recommending it. Pointing and bringing it up is that there's a self-proclaimed prophet from a small town in Utah that they did this documentary on. He's facing federal charges for abusing kids, among other things. And with a show of hands, how many know false prophets aren't limited to small fundamentalist groupings in little communities? The number, let me put it this way, as the number of charismatic churches continues to grow, the number of people who claim to be prophets is growing too. It's growing very fast. What's a charismatic church? Charismatic church is simply a Christian congregation that emphasizes the active ongoing presence of the Holy Spirit in everyday life, which is a good thing. The name charismatic comes from two Greek words, charis, which means grace, and mata, which means gifts. Well, the number of charismatic Christians, I did a little homework on this, the number of charismatic Christians has exploded around the world since the 1970s. Exploded. Many would say it is the fastest growing movement within Christianity. We're talking today, estimates 600 million, 700 million professing Christians. Well, as I was trying to get some more like research on this, I kept getting directed to a study that's 20 years old. Back then, the Barna Research Group, which works really hard on their studies, they published an article 20 years ago entitled, Is American Christianity Turning Charismatic? I mean, it's 20 years ago. Even back then, they noted the percentage of charismatics, it keeps growing and growing and growing, including denominations that you might not think where it's growing, like Catholics. All right, for the record, I learned so much. I was at a charismatic church for 12 years. I learned so much from my brothers and sisters at that church about expectancy, that God's going to show up, right? He's actually going to do things. About heartfelt worship. That wasn't part of my experience growing up. Heartfelt worship. Who the Holy Spirit is, that the Holy Spirit, what? The Holy Spirit, how he guides us, makes us more like Jesus, empowers us to be his witnesses, and to do things we could never do in our own strength. And, where watchmen are sounding the alarm, rightfully so, are situations where truth is getting twisted. This spring, an article came into my inbox with this title. I didn't go looking for it. It found me. Here's the title. Why the phrase the prophetic, now what? Puts a pit in my stomach. There's so many people that that's true for. And I'll be honest, I get that a lot now too after what I've seen. The author of this article, she shared her own experience of watching a church that she loved drift into what she called hyper-charismatic territory. Here's how she describes her experience that a growing number of people can relate to. In many church settings today, the prophetic has come to mean more than the biblical category of prophecy. It often refers to the ongoing, highly personalized revelations, impressions, predictions, and interpretations that extend what? Beyond what's clearly revealed in Scripture, and yet it's treated as expected Christian experiences. An entire industry has grown up around the idea, books, courses, promising activation, encouraging people to identify your gift, develop it, learn how to use it. But Scripture tells us the Spirit distributes gifts sovereignly to whom he wills, as he wills. If that's true, then activation isn't a biblical concept. It's what? It's a marketing one. She recalled these experiences. Many of us have had these. standing in line, going, okay, that person has given out prophetic words. I want one of those, right? Standing in line. Many of us, we're like, oh, why is everyone else having these visions and dreams? Why am I not getting these? Many of us thinking, okay, what's keeping us from speaking in tongues? Because since we're supposed to get that, if we're Christians, we hear, right? In from some of these prophets. Why are my mountains not moving when I'm supposed to just be able to say, mountain, move? And if I say it in faith, it should move. Why is that not always happening? All right, here's more of her experience. She says, when people talk about walking in the prophetic, they're usually describing something extra-biblical. It's subjective, fluid, and difficult, if not impossible to test. We'll come back to that later. Once we move beyond what's clearly revealed, we introduce enormous room. This is so well worded. If you can put your attention on the screen, look at this wording. We introduce enormous room for error, not just minor error, but the kind that shapes lives and wounds people deeply. This also is worded so well. Dependence upon those who claim to operate in the prophetic, dependence begins to replace confidence in what? In God's word. Proximity becomes a substitute for discernment. Rather than learning to study, test, apply scripturally faithfully, vulnerable people begin to rely on perceived experts, those who seem to have access to something they don't. All right, let me just give you one more quote. I think she sums up extremely well where most people at Emmanuel are at. I think she sums up really well. Here's the quote. I would never want skepticism or personal experience to keep me from anything God genuinely has for me. With a show of hands, how many are like, I want everything that God wants, right? All of us, right? She also says this, but I don't want something that he hasn't given. How many else, right? We want both those things. If God wants to give it, we want to receive it. If it's not really from him, we don't want it, and we don't want it injected into somebody we care about either. All right. What we're experiencing is not completely new. If you're taking notes, I encourage you to write this down. When it comes to identifying false prophets, the Bible provides helpful examples and guidance. Now, we're not going to be able to focus on all things charismatic today, but this is a series on prophets. So we're going to talk specifically about 6 ways that you can spot a false prophet. That's where we're going to go eventually. But before we start talking about how to spot a prophet with a fake ID, let's look at an example of a good one. Let's start there. What does the real look like? If you're taking notes, I invite you to write this down. If you want an example of an exemplary prophet, read Daniel. If you want to get like the gold standard from the Old Testament, Daniel. The book of Daniel is so rich. We did an entire series on it in 2016 and barely scratched the surface. Chapter 1, you got this young man named Daniel. If you're not familiar with the book, you have this young man named Daniel. He's carried off into captivity. He immediately sets himself apart as someone. He honors God and he hears from God. In chapter 2, we find the God of Daniel. He can interpret these dreams that no one else can. Chapter 3 is where you find the account of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. And then, have any of you heard the phrase, writings on the wall? Anyone heard the phrase, you have been weighed and found wanting? Daniel chapter 5 is where that comes from. And then anyone heard the story of Daniel in the lion's den? Chapter 6. Okay, this is just the first half. Then you get chapter 7 and beyond, and that's where things really get wild. It's filled with dreams, visions, prophecies, empires rising and falling. There are insights into spiritual warfare that you don't find anywhere else. There's only 2 angels that are named by name in the Bible. Both of them appear in Daniel. Language. If you haven't reread Daniel for a while, reread it. There is language that is echoed in Revelation, in Daniel, and so much more. Daniel, as he's introduced as a young man who is well-informed, quick to understand. He has an aptitude, it says, for every kind of learning. Here's an example of what you find. If you have your Bibles, let's open up to Daniel chapter 1, we're going to start with verse 17 here. I want to let you know, too, if you don't have a Bible, please hit pause right now, go to Bible.com, download their free Bible app. We want to make sure that you've got unfiltered access to what the Bible actually says, especially in light of all the people out there claiming to speak for God. All right, verse 17, says this, as for these four youths, meaning Daniel and three others, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, God gave them learning. He gave them skill in all literature and wisdom. Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Okay, so Daniel's been given these gifts. These gifts that he's got are so clearly beyond this world that kings, actually successive kings, multiple kings from different empires all recognize this guy's got something that nobody else has. As chapter 6 opens, there's a king named Darius on the throne. Daniel is, quote, in his eyes, quote, distinguished above all the other high officials. So how do you think the other high officials feel about that? They get jealous. And this is worth noting, because I'm getting at Daniel's character here. They recognize with Daniel, we can't find any dirt on him. Think how significant that, by this time, he's been decades in public service. Can you just imagine? I know this is like really hard to imagine. Can you imagine if our public servants, you couldn't find dirt on them after decades? Wouldn't that be beautiful? On us, you know, wouldn't it be beautiful? So this guy, he had such high character. Nobody's perfect, but he had such high character that they couldn't find dirt. So the only way they could get him was to do something with his God. And again, to show you where his character is, and this is going to come into play later too. Look at this, Daniel 6:10. They tricked the king into signing a law that you can't pray to anybody except the king. If you do, you're going to be thrown into a lion's den. So look what it says. This is 6:10. When Daniel knew that document was signed, so he knows, I can't do what I'm about to do. When he knew it was signed, he went to his house. What did he do? Got down on his knees, prayed 3 times, just like he had always done. He was consistent. He didn't change. If this is going to cost me my life, I can't disobey my God. That's who we're talking. If you want an example of an exemplary prophet, Daniel, great place to start. Okay, so I'm laying that foundation, but here's why we got to give you these 6 tests, because is every prophet as high character as Daniel? No, right? They're not. God sometimes speaks through broken people. And in fact, that's the only kind of people he's got to work with. So he speaks through broken people. So sometimes you're going to get a very imperfect person who's going to get it from God. All right. Does God sometimes even speak through people whose hearts are far from him? Yes. So that gets tricky. How do you discern? Because God doesn't only use people exactly like Daniel. He can speak through others. Not every prophet is going to look like Daniel. So we're going to give you 6 ways to spot a fake ID. What I mean by that is if someone's saying, this is my opinion, then it's their opinion. What I'm talking about, someone goes, God gave me a word. All right, let's check that ID and let's see if that's really the case. Here's 6 tests. If you're taking notes, here's 1. Check the doctrine. This should go without saying. Does it line up with the word of God? Is it okay to share our thoughts and opinions? Yes. Just don't say it's a word from the Lord if it's not. God's got strong feelings about this. The prophet Jeremiah 23:36. You pervert the words of the living God, the Lord of hosts. So one of the best ways to spot a fake idea is if the words coming out of their mouth contradict the word of the Lord as revealed in Scripture. All right, here's 2. 2, shouldn't be any surprises here either. Check the fruit. We had this as a test last week for something else. One of the things, and I could go a lot of directions with this. Here's the one I'm going to go because this is one that I think needs to be addressed. One of the things that I've experienced over the years pretty consistently is how self-professing prophets are often some of the rudest and most abrasive and least tactful people that I run into. I've just seen this consistently. Often they'll act like, I got a hall pass. And here's what they'll do. They'll say, it's a prophetic voice. And they're equating prophetic with rude. Is that the example that we see in Scripture? It's not. Sometimes they have hard things to say and people aren't listening. But it doesn't give you permission to be rude. What did Jesus himself say about the fruit? Here it is. Beware of false prophets. You who come to you in sheep's clothing, inwardly ravenous wolves, you shall recognize them by their fruits. Now that means a lot of things. But let's just talk about the fruit of, look at their character. Are they just like, I'm just a rude person and I have permission to be because I'm prophetic? You don't get what prophetic is then if you think I just got permission to be rude. The New Testament, Again, it packs this in so many ways. Daniel, in Old Testament too, Daniel had really hard things to say. Daniel consistently is described as delivering those hard words with, like this, Daniel 2:14. Daniel replied with what? Prudence and discretion. Other translations say wisdom and tact. You got read through Daniel yourself. He consistently does this, even with people who are going to kill him. He consistently tries to respond in wisdom and tact. What does it say in the New Testament? It says, sprinkle what you're saying with salt. Season it with salt. Season it with salt. Daniel had a reputation among at least four different kings from two different empires as being a man of high skill, high integrity, valuable insights you can't find anywhere else. In the book of Daniel, even the heavenly hosts consider Daniel, quote, highly esteemed. In the book of Ezekiel that we looked at last week, God himself lifts up Daniel twice for that character, for that character. If someone says their prophetic gift is a license to be rude, it is highly likely they're carrying a fake ID. All right, number three. Check for useless or distracting opinionating. This needs to be said. I encourage everyone to read 1 Timothy 1:3-7. In it, you're going to find some really strong words and warnings about false doctrines, about engaging in myths, about speculations and vain discussions, which the Bible says come from people, and I quote, who desire to be teachers but don't understand the things about which they make such confident assertions. All right, I just saw an example of this just as I was working on this message. So there's a Pentecostal evangelist named Perry. Perry posted a video on YouTube this spring. In it, Pentecostal Perry, he claimed, okay, I've got this friend. I got this friend, he's a pastor. And he got called into a secret meeting. The government called these pastors into a secret meeting, and they want to talk about UFOs. And in that meeting, they said, the government is going to blame the rapture on an alien invasion, so get ready for that, and other conspiracy theories. And along the way, this guy, he quoted his son, his same son, who had tweeted a while back that President Obama was a, quote, advanced humanoid AI. All right. Why are we talking about this guy? Because he has about 1 million subscribers. And there are all kinds of folks like this that are saying these types of things, having millions of people who are listening to this. Okay, let me keep going with this. So he said, my friend, you know, was in a secret meeting. The very next day, in that same newsfeed, very next day, I saw a different article. Same newsfeed. Another pastor. This pastor's named Larry. Pastor Larry had to apologize. Pastor Larry had to apologize. Here's why. In another viral clip, Pastor Larry had claimed, I was one of those guys. I was one of those guys in the secret meeting, he said. I was in a secret meeting with a, quote, very well-known congressman from Missouri. And Larry claims that well-known congressman, he called the meeting, and he called him to warn this select group of pastors that, quote, so-called extraterrestrials, they are part of a demonic conspiracy to deceive humanity. And the government is going to claim that they created humans and invented Christianity. Okay, why is he apologizing? He's apologizing because that congressman from Missouri, he said, hey, that well-known guy is me. And let me set the facts straight. I didn't call a meeting. They're the ones that asked if I could come and weigh in on some things. And I didn't meet with them in person in a secret location in Tennessee. It was a conference call, he said. And he said, I didn't say those things they said I said. Here's what I told them. I told them that all of us should base our views on what the Bible actually says. So now Larry is apologizing, and his words, oh, this really frustrates me. He confessed, he goes, well, I conflated some of my own opinions with what the person said. So you got this guy who's lying, and then you have Perry who's basing everything on the lie and saying that this is the God speaking. What was the result of these men who desire to be teachers engaging in myths and speculations and vain discussions about things they don't understand? and making confident assertions about? Well, adding a whole lot of confusion. A whole lot of confusion to a whole lot of people who are really trying to trust and learn truth. A lot of confusion. Here's what else they do, and this leads into the next one. They also got a lot of clicks. They got a lot of clicks. That brings us number four. You want to spot a fake ID and a false prophet? Follow the money. I just got a sick feeling in my stomach when I said that. Follow the money. I want to encourage everybody, read 1 Timothy 6:3 through 10. I encourage you to do that. In it, you're going to find more strong words, language, warning about those who have a, quote, unhealthy craving for controversy. You talk about relevant phrase, unhealthy craving for controversy, or quarrels about words which produce envy, dissension, slander, and suspicion. In that same passage, 1 Timothy 6, it warns us about those who equate godliness with financial gain. And that's where we find the teaching, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evils. You want a fake ID? Check if either an individual or a church is more interested in building their brand than building up the body of Jesus Christ. Not long ago, massive church on the West Coast made headlines because they had lifted someone up as a prophet, and this guy was caught using people's social media accounts. He's like, I got a word from you, from the Lord for you. Well, he got it off of social media. And then, as they dug a little bit deeper, it got uglier and uglier. It came out that he had even darker hidden sins that were an open secret to his church leaders. But this guy was bringing in a whole lot of people, and they didn't want to bring that out into the open. And here's what's so ironic in such a tragic way. What is the whole point of like these Old Testament prophets? They were naming and calling out things like that, right? Do you see just how this got so flipped? Now you're protecting this false prophet. You're not doing the very thing that prophets are supposed to do and speak truth. This really matters. This really, really, really matters. All right. Let's go on to the next one. Oh, before we do that, I'm glad I write things down. Example of Daniel. There's a situation where Daniel had a chance. This king says, hey, if you can interpret this for me, I am going to give you money, wealth, power. You know what Daniel said? You keep it. You keep it. And look what he says. All right, are we moving up? Yeah, he says this. He goes, you, Belshazzar, you've not humbled your heart. You've lifted up yourself against the Lord of heaven. But the God whose hand is in, or God whose hand is your breath, but the God in whose, let me try this again. You, Belshazzar, you've not humbled your heart. You have lifted up yourself against the Lord of heaven, but the God in whose hand is your breath and whose are all your ways. You've not honored him. He's like, I got to speak the truth anyway, even though it could cost me everything. All right. And that brings us to number five. Fifth way, spot a fake ID. Do they bow to any other kings? Do they bow to any other kings? Daniel is a constant. One of the things you see in Daniel. Daniel is a constant as God removes and sets up kings and kingdoms. And look at the kind of thing. Look at the kind of thing that Daniel said to those who appeared to have positions of absolute power. Daniel 2, 20 through 21. Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. What does Daniel say to the kings? He says, he removes them and he sets them up. Daniel consistently spoke the truth to people in positions of authority with tact. Here's an example. Daniel bringing a hard word to King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. He was the most powerful person on the planet at the time. He says this, chapter 4, verse 27, let my counsel be acceptable to you. There's the tact. And here comes the truth. Break off your sins by practicing righteousness and your iniquities by showing mercy to the oppressed. There may be perhaps a lengthening of your prosperity. As you read Daniel for yourself, here's something to take note of. This is really interesting. Even as God sets up and removes kings in Daniel, God uses the voices of those very kings to testify to who God is. Kings that he's removing, he uses their voices to testify to a different kingdom. Here's another king, example. Another king, another empire. This is King Darius the Mede. He wrote this decree to people of every known nation and language. When God delivered Daniel from the lion's den, here's what that king says. Look at this. This is a king saying this, who doesn't even necessarily believe in God before. He says, I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble and fear before the God of who? Daniel. He is a living God, enduring forever. His kingdom will never be destroyed. His dominion shall be no end. One way to spot a prophet, fake ID. How closely do they align with the powers in this world? And how much do they consistently speak the truth? All right, let me give you just one more. This last test is not only extremely reliable, this is the easiest one. Some of these other ones take a lot more work. You got to find all the doctrine, all those things. This is the easiest of them all. Number 6, how do they react when you weigh in? How do they respond when you challenge them? How do you respond and say, when you say, let's go to the word together? Can I get everyone's attention on this? This is so huge. If anyone claims to have a word from God, but they are not open to be challenged, if they're not open to letting others process, hey, let's process this together. Let's discern this together. Alarms should be going off. Why? Because the Bible's clear on this. Now that the Holy Spirit has been poured out in our age, God's people are encouraged to earnestly desire spiritual gifts. God has graciously provided examples and guidance that keep us from chaos. They keep us from everyone running around. God told me this. God told me that. God told me this. He's given us ways to help process this and discern it. 1 Corinthians 14:29 provides this very helpful principle. Let two or three prophets speak and let others what? Weigh what it's said. In that same chapter, it says, be eager to prophesy, but everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way. Again, look at Daniel's example. Daniel himself, in even one of his own dreams, he's having a dream, and in his dream, he's like, I need an assist on this because I don't know what's going on here. That's in his dream. In chapter 8, verse 27, Daniel says, okay, that last vision wore me out. He says, it's beyond understanding. If Daniel struggled sometimes to understand, do you think it would be wise to, instead of saying, God told me, !! Hey, can you help me? I think God's saying something. Can you help me discern this? And one of my most helpful reminders that I ever heard, it was another one of the pastors at my last church. And he said this, he goes, prophecy is a continuum. This is great. Prophecy, it's either 0% God and 100% you, which is highly unlikely, or it's 100% God, 0% you, or it's somewhere in between, right? And so trying to discern and filter that is just so, so important. And I'm so glad, by the way, for the record, being part of a church that wants to get it right, who really wants to discern together. All right, as always, there's so much more that could be said. I'm already pushing the length of this message as is, so let me close with this. Last week, I had the opportunity to go to a concert by an artist named Phil Wickham. Oh my goodness. At the Target Center. It was so cool because here are 12,000 people all united in just, our focus was where it was supposed to be. We're praising and worshiping God. It was so beautiful. To get on that stage, you had to have a special ID, right? To get up on that stage. And I'm really glad that was the case. Because imagine how different that concert would be if people were getting up there and saying things that weren't true. Imagine if people were getting up there and they just had this angry, toxic character. Imagine if people got up there and they're just spouting off these opinions that are distracting and meaningless. If people were getting up there who were only in it for the money and it was clear. If people were getting up there and they're using that platform, I'm going to be pushing a political agenda. Imagine how different it would be if people got up there and they're like, you know what? None of y'all have the connection to God that I have. If I say this is from God, then I'm right and you should listen. Imagine how different that would be. This is what we want for our congregation, isn't it? To to be able to have us united and focused on what is true and what is good and what is helpful and what is making a difference in people's lives. So I want to challenge all of us. Let's all get really good checking IDs, right? And focusing on those. Here's the last thing you have to write down. When people get better at carding the false prophets, everybody wins, right? Everybody wins. Let's get really good at checking those ideas. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you give us all of these, there's so much wisdom so that it's not just the wild west of people running around going, God told me this, God told me that. But rather, Lord, we thank you that you speak today. We're so grateful for that. Lord, we pray that that is something that we'll seek earnestly desire like your word says. And help us also, Lord, as we earnestly desire that, to follow the full revelation of your word, to check carefully, weigh those things that are being said, and to really go after you with all our hearts. Lord, we pray right now that we could do that. We pray with this song, that this could be a song that helps seal this moment as we declare things that are biblically anchored that we are going to put our faith and our belief in. I pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.